Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Mozart's Requiem, one of the greatest pieces ever written by one of the greatest dead white males who ever performed in the world. Of course, I realize he tried his best, but he was only a white male. He couldn't come up to the level of a rap artist rubbing his crotch. But nevertheless, today I'm going to celebrate white male inventions and, in general, European culture, European civilization. I'll tell you why in a minute, but play Requiem for another minute, will you, Robert? Just keep playing it. All right, I think you've gotten the point. I've gotten your attention, perhaps, or perhaps you'd like to talk about the Giants and puke in the street or vomit on a car fender, but that's not what this show is about. If you want to vomit on a car fender and set off a firecracker, be my guest and move to San Francisco. You'll have plenty of company. Can you imagine a world without the contribution of Europeans? Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names such as Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other dead white males who the left has tried to vilify for the last 40 years. How long are we going to pretend that origins play no role in our world, in the origins of the invention, science, technology, and economics of the world in which we live? The fact of the matter is, curse me if you wish, curse me all white males if you wish, that will change nothing. But if you call me a liar, you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong. Remember, I'm not saying that there were no important contributions by non-Europeans. I said the overwhelming majority of modern devices and devices of our civilizations were developed by European males. Now, of course, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America and the zero of the Arabs. Would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers, for example, who had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? No. Aristotle, in the 5th century B.C., used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. And from the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans, who expanded on this scientific knowledge. And in modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today, all of them dreaded white males. Now, maybe you got your enlightenment from MSNBC or from one of the Ivy League institutions of lower education. Maybe these fools taught you that it's all a result of white racism and oppression, that every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Or maybe their schools refused to teach him in his own language. Or maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities. Or maybe our would-be innovator from the third world came from a dysfunctional family. But the facts tell us that many of the great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the sun. He and other men of genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it meant their lives. They would permit no race, gender, group, or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. Just listen to me carefully. If you eliminate, suppress, or debase the white male, you just might kill the goose that laid the golden egg. And I'll continue a little further on the Savage Nation with my theme today, where we celebrate European civilization. I open with Mozart's Requiem, written for his father's funeral, I believe. And what I'm about to play for you is something entirely different, and I don't know what you're calling about. I'm not going to talk about Ebola. I know about the breaking news of the day. We have secured the State Department document which will admit non-citizens to the United States for treatment of Ebola, courtesy of Adam Housley. Yes, we have that. And we have the Houston lesbian mayor who has tried to subpoena sermons of pastors, being the good fascist that she obviously is. And we're going to talk about the fact that despite the boycott by Fox News and all other media outlets in the United States of America, my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, has achieved a third week on the New York Times bestseller list. But I don't want to talk about those initially. You see, I took the day off yesterday to reflect, to do some things. And as I walked around the city of San Francisco, certain things occurred to me, some subconsciously, some consciously. And I thought it would be important today on the Savage Nation to talk about what's happening to America and why so many Europeans are depressed, people of European descent, that is. Many of them are agitated and depressed because they see a man who by nature seems to go against that side of his own heritage for reasons only he can describe. A man who does everything he possibly can to run down one particular race and elevate others. And people are feeling it, and they're sick of it, and they don't understand why things are falling apart in this country. They don't understand why the United States of America, which put a man on the moon, can't even fire a rocket to resupply the space station under Barack and Saint Obama. There are so many things that I can tell you about that are happening in front of our eyes, intruders with knives jumping the White House fence, walking through the unlocked front door of the president's house, knocking down a female Secret Service agent, running around the East Room a few minutes after the president had departed. Days earlier, an armed security guard in Atlanta with a violent criminal background was allowed by Secret Service agents to ride an elevator with the president of the United States. Last summer, 100,000 children and young people from Central America were invited into the United States, overwhelming our border patrol, many of them sick with tuberculosis and the so-called mystery virus that is now spreading amongst our children, crippling some and killing others. We learned that sick and suffering veterans were made to wait for appointments to see VA doctors. We watched as this hater of America closed down the memorial to veterans during the sequester arguments, closed it down while letting illegal aliens, non-citizens, march on the White House. How can this be? How could we not be beating ISIS, a ragtag army without an air force, without a navy? We can't defeat them? Or is it that the commander-in-chief is not up to the job? How is it that we borrow from Europe and Japan? How is it that we borrow from China to buy crap from China? How is it possible that the U.S. government has an antiquated postal system? How is it that the U.S. government can't do what FedEx does? How is it that this country has an infrastructure that is falling apart? How is it that this country has children who are collapsing in international competitions? How is it that a racial divide in our schools has never been greater than under Barack Obama? Even Joe Biden called LaGuardia Airport a bad name. What is doing this? Why is the country falling apart? Why are our politics, our racial enmities, and our cultural clashes so great? What's doing it? Well, I'll let you decide. But how is it that this nation that could put a man on the moon, defeat Nazi Germany, and do so many other wonderful things, build the Cooley Dam? I can give you many, many things this country did in such a short period of time. The Golden Gate Bridge was built in 3 years. Can you imagine if these dunces in the state of Sacramento, in the state of California, in the offices in Sacramento, were to be given a plan to build a bridge spanning San Francisco to the county north of it, Marin County today, how many years it would sit in some government moron's office with no ability to even lay a strand to pour a bag of cement with these morons? How many other structures in your life, how many other achievements in your life were created before this crippling Soviet system evolved in the United States of America, now run by our own petty little, I don't know what word would be analogous to him. There is none, actually. He's unto himself what he is. But I do lay the blame at him and his minions. They have a vendetta against the civilization I am talking about. So that's why I played Mozart's Requiem as one of the greatest pieces of music ever written. For those of you know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking for a European revival in the United States of America. I'm actually doing this show to awaken people and to even the average man or woman listening to this show, you don't have to be a genius to understand what I'm saying. Because, you see, you've taken pride in your culture and civilization over the years, whether it was a trip to Italy to see the Sistine Chapel, whether it was a trip to Florence to see the great architecture of Florence, whether it was a trip to England to see the incredible structures in England. Everywhere you looked, you came back with a sense of pride of your own people and your own civilization. But over the last 20 or 30 years, you have been so browbeaten by third worlders and their leftist cohorts in this country who have tried to make you embarrassed by your civilization, embarrassed by the achievements of your, let's say, distant ancestors or, let us say, fellow citizens of another time, that you don't even know what your people have achieved. Instead, you walk around like beaten people with your tails between your legs. I am trying to awaken the European Americans in the United States of America. How's that? Does that work for you? Is that clear enough for you? Because nobody is doing it. And I have eyes and I have ears and I see and I hear and I know what's going on. And I refuse to allow a group of losers and perverts run down European civilization. I won't take it anymore. And I'll do so at all risks. I'll do so at all risks. Because I'm very proud to be a descendant of the greats. No, they're not in my bloodline, and maybe I have only a scintilla of the sunshine that was in the mind of Mozart. Maybe I have only one atom of the greatness that was in Beethoven. Maybe I have only one atom of Albert Einstein and one atom of Moses himself. But that's enough for me. I'm very proud of that. This is Michael Savage. When I come back, I have another treat for you. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Today we are celebrating European culture and civilization. I opened with Mozart's Requiem, and I went into a little piece on the in White Male Inventions, which I wrote back in 1999. It was published then. And I presented an argument. It was a very interesting argument. And I'm celebrating European culture and civilization because I, for one, have had enough of the browbeating by Barack Obama and his cohorts. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the Arab imperialism. I'm sick of hearing about how great the Arab culture is when it's done nothing since giving the world a zero. It's given us nothing but throat cutting and murder. I don't understand why intelligent people would spend their lives plotting how to bring others down. I don't quite get it. Can you imagine the world that we live in, a place that it would be if the Arab mind was devoted to advancing humanity rather than segmenting humanity and putting forth a sort of Arab imperialism? Can you imagine the world it could be if there was cooperation instead of hatred? Can you imagine if we had a president who was a uniter instead of a divider? I could unite this country better than Barack Obama. Anyone could, for that matter. I don't think there's a politician on the Republican side who couldn't do a better job. Whatever lowly congressman out there, as long as he was a man who had experience in Iraq or Afghanistan, would be a better president than this community organizer who has divided people unlike any division I've seen in my lifetime, studying it since the 1960s, when the country almost fell apart. Let me take some calls on this. I have so many beautiful things I want to say and do for you. Maybe we could do it for a second, Robert. Let's just play the surprise I have. We're not ready for the piece from the poet. Let's go to De Hollerach kocht in meinem Herzen. I made my point. It's one of the most difficult arias to sing. Very few people can do it. It's called the Queen of the Night aria from the Magic Flute by Mozart. And this title, and my German is horrendous, I'll read the English, is Hell's Vengeance Boils in My Heart. And it's an interesting little story. It's quite melodramatic. And what it is the Queen of the Night, the character, is in a fit of vengeful rage. And in this aria, the Queen of the Night places a knife in the hand of her daughter, Pamina, and tells her to assassinate her rival, the Queen's rival, Sarastro. And if she doesn't do it, she will curse her daughter if she does not comply. So it's not for any particular symbolic reason that I'm playing the Queen of the Night. It's just that it's one of the most phenomenal pieces of music I've ever heard in my life, and I guess it's not taught or people don't know much about it. It's almost laughable to a person who would let us say, pay attention to some other forms of culture or art. I'm not a highbrow kind of guy, but I can appreciate the high and the low. I can walk the lowest streets of America and enjoy them. I can drink in the dirtiest dive bar in the city and enjoy it as much as drinking on top of Knob Hill. In fact, sometimes more so, but often I would rather watch television and drink scotch by myself. The fact of the matter is you don't have to be one thing or the other to understand how great certain things are and how menial other things are. And I guess that's why I'm trying to do this show in a different way today. It's, yeah, I'll talk about Obama on Ebola, the most bumbling president in history. Because if you ask yourself, what sane man on earth would bring foreign patients with Ebola to America? You'd say there is no sane man who would do it. It's impossible to believe. And then you'd come to the conclusion that liberalism is truly a mental disorder. He may not be insane. He is just so locked into his doxy of liberalism, of open borders, and free travel, that we are all at risk. We're all at risk. He makes no sense anymore. His own military is defying him. The military will quarantine men who come back, men and women come back, but he will not quarantine these nurses and doctors, including that doll up in Maine, who should be arrested yesterday and thrown into an isolation chamber.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Any large corporation generally follows the lead of the chief executive. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Whether it be a corporation or any large organization, state, county, everyone looks to the boss as the leader. And our leader, as chief executive, as you well know, has failed at virtually everything he's touched. And when I'm talking about the cultural failures of Obama in a way today. He virtually omitted all classical music from the White House since he was, let us say, appointed, or since he won the election. It doesn't matter how he became president. But it's very interesting to me that his musical tastes seem not to go beyond Beyonce. He doesn't seem to have very much of a taste for classical music. And it's very interesting in its own way. You say, well, to each his own. No, it's not to each his own. There's a reason that cultural Marxists of his stripe favor music other than that of the greats. And what I'd like to play for you now on the Savage Nation, I'm trying to give you some ammunition to go out of the show or leave the show with some pride in yourself. If you could remember the white male inventions I've talked about, maybe that would be enough in your celebration of European culture and civilization. Because it's not really gone. It's not gone at all. It's interesting to me that no one makes an issue of Bob Dylan's original name. Quite interesting that some of the Lilliputians who seem to have a business of doing that with others have nothing to say about Bob Dylan's original name. But nevertheless, forget the Lilliputians around us. We're trying to talk about the greats that existed and some that still do here and there. I don't know where they are today. But the fact of the matter is, this is the greatest country in the history of the world, and I do believe we will survive the meanest president in American history. You know, a lot of things have been said about him, but no one has ever said he's mean. He is one of the most mean-spirited individuals I have ever seen in my life. And if I had to typify an example, pick an example of his meanness, of spirit, and his vindictiveness, it's almost a chick-like vindictiveness. A nasty girl would have done what he did. Remember when the government was closed down because of a budget fight? He closed down access to the Veterans War memorials near the White House. And yet he opened the plaza to illegal aliens who were in the streets. Is that the act of a leader? Is that the act of a man? Is that the act of a heroic leader, a man leading a nation in a world such as we live in? So you wonder why things are falling apart in America. You wonder why there are no great things being built. Take a look at the things around you. The dams, the bridges, the tunnels. How come we're not building any great bridges or any great dams or any great tunnels? There are skyscrapers going up. That's because the government has been pushed out of the way of the private developers. The government's building nothing. Why? Where's all of the trillions of dollars that he's printing going? It's going up the noses and into the pockets of the corrupt individuals who put this party in power. That's where it's coming from, the people. And guess where it's going? It's not going into the infrastructure. It's not going into building new great dams and new great bridges, new roads. Are you kidding me? What roads? There are no roads. They build roads to nowhere. They build trains to nowhere. Just as Jerry Brown is building an express train to nowhere that'll cost something beyond anything anyone could imagine. King Ludwig himself could have not done a better job of bankrupting the Treasury than Barack Obama or this character here in California, Jerry Brown. It's astounding to me what liberals do with the taxpayers' money. And yet they build nothing. They create nothing. All they do is take and give it to their supporters. And so I don't know if you want to talk about this anymore. I can go into the Ebola epidemic. I think I will go into the Ebola epidemic in a moment. Maybe I'll go into it now, unless we should take a few calls on this. Maybe I'll take a few calls on my celebration of European culture. Then I'll go to the Ebola story. Okay, let's do it that way. Okay, how about that? Let us go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, Michael. I'm a 65-year-old toolmaker, and I understand what you're saying, and it's been beating at my heart for years now that we can't build this and we can't build that. You know, most people don't even know when you say you're a toolmaker, they don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
What do you mean when I say the Cooley Dam?
Pardon?
You said they don't know what we're talking about with reference to what?
Well, like when people ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a toolmaker, and they don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, and, you know, what's going on is crazy because, you know, the Arabs build nothing. They manufacture nothing. Africa, what comes out of Africa? Nothing. And if it weren't for us showing the Chinese and the Asians how to build stuff, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing now. But for us to continue to allow someone to tell us that we didn't make that, that's insanity.
Remember Obama said you didn't create that about men and women who built their own businesses? You didn't build it? You didn't do it? He did it? The government did it? This is the mindset of the petty bureaucrat. You understand that, Richard?
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, it started long before Obama. It started with the radical leftists singing 40 years ago, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civilization has got to go. It started with the radicals who hated America. They started to tear down every edifice of the society, beginning with mother and father, man and woman, and most particularly the Catholic Church. And as they took the Catholic Church apart, brick by brick, they have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams in destroying Western civilization. But what have they replaced it with is the question, Richard. What have they replaced it with?
Oh, my God. Just, you know.
No one knows what they've replaced it with. But I guess we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. 150 Iraqi tribesmen opposed to ISIS found in a mass grave. Did you see that little story from Reuters? Did you see the story about Obama's henchmen calling Netanyahu a war hero, a coward? Did you hear about that story? Calling Benjamin Netanyahu a coward. Can you believe this? A war hero? The real reason that Israel did not attack Iran is just a part of this story. It's a very big story. Now, it's true that Obama did not call Netanyahu a coward. But one of his low-life henchmen did. He called Netanyahu a coward. I don't know if you heard about that one. Meanwhile, Obama is betraying Israel on a daily basis. Meanwhile, John, the shady man Kerry, is doing a backroom deal with Iran, no doubt to give them the ability to build a nuclear weapon right in your lifetime. Now, maybe it's Obama himself who called Netanyahu a coward and one of his minions picked up on it. But the consequence of this insult... The consequences of this insult to Netanyahu are yet to be seen. One of them is the unintended consequence that Israel's military and strategic bonds with Egypt and Saudi Arabia are getting stronger and will get stronger. Why? Because both the Saudis and the Egyptians now see Obama as having betrayed Israel, just as Obama has betrayed Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Now, this Obama-Iran nuclear deal could come along right after the election. This is something you should pay attention to. We keep thinking about the election next Tuesday. And we hear that the Republicans may regain the Senate, and I hope that they do. Then, of course, our work will begin that day when we have to fight with them every day of our lives to restore our borders, language, and culture. But I'm warning you what's going to happen. Right after the congressional midterm elections, before the Republican majority Senate is sworn in January, you watch what happens in November and December. If you think that this character has done damage to this country in the last 6 years, you are right. But what he is about to do in November and December will boggle the imagination even of the most devout liberal. We have a rogue president who is about to cause the greatest damage in the world that you've ever seen. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, courtesy of Marconi and the other pioneers in the business of transmitting sound waves through the universe. If you look at virtually everything that you enjoy, it's got to do with someone's inventiveness and someone's invention. Now, I've read the fallacious argument by that third-rate anthropologist, Diamond, who says that Europeans prevail due to geographic luck and not race. All right, if you wish, you can be a European hater. But I will ask you something else. Do you think it's only due to geography and not to religion? See, I've analyzed why Europeans prevailed many times, and I came up with one answer, Christianity. The religion itself is liberating, and especially after the Renaissance. The Christian religion talked about the dominion of God, of course, but also about the dominion of man, or the divine nature of man. Now compare that to the other religions of the world who tell man that they're nothing but a bug. Nothing. Zero. That they're just a bee in a hive, an ant in a nest. By ennobling the common man, Christianity permitted the common man to rise above his own biology. And he exceeded the limitations of mankind that had preceded him. That's my analysis of why That's my analysis of why Europeans have prevailed, not to do with the geography that the 10th-rate psychologist came up with, or anthropologist Diamond that they all quote. They're trying to argue that because of the geography of animals and plants, the European was just lucky, and the result of the plants and the animals, he succeeded, and that's why the others haven't. Well, that's a convenient argument, but it doesn't explain it in its entirety, not at all. I would argue that one of the reasons the European has prevailed is not so much race, but religion. That's something to think about. Christianity is a religion that generally ennobles man, at least it can. You look at the other religions, though, they tell man that he's nothing. They don't talk about the supremacy of man in the other religions. They basically knock man, tell him he's nothing. And I think that if you look at it from that point of view, you can come up with a PhD dissertation. If you're a young graduate student looking around for a thesis, there's a good one. Of course, it would never in a million years get passed at a Harvard thesis committee. It would never get passed in any American university. That's the problem. Been taken over by a bunch of left-wing jackals. Everything that they do is cultural imperialism of the worst kind. Cultural Marxist imperialism of the worst kind. WFTL, Florida. Katie, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I was driving along when you played the Queen of the Night aria, and every hair on my body stood up.
That's right. That's what it did to me when I heard it, and I figured I'm gonna play it on the Savage Nation just to counteract the World Series mentality in America today.
I have never heard it, but when that piece, it was the most bizarre thing. I'm driving along, and my hair is standing on end.
You know, here's another reason I played that aria from Mozart, The Magic Flute, is I was going to ask people to tell me what music did they play for their children, or what did they play for their children when the children were infants. It's well known that music has an effect upon a child's development, the mind especially. I'm asking, what music do you play for your children? Is it rap music or... what music do they play? Rock and roll music? I mean, I like all of that music, but I wouldn't play it for a developing mind. That's like eating sugar, taking sugar, or drugs. You can do it when you're an adult in moderation, but you don't want to feed it to a growing infant, do you?
No. When our children were young, they got a very broad variety. They got everything from Barney to classical music.
Right. Well, I don't think people play classical music for their children. I think they're embarrassed by it. I would wager a bet that people listening to the show, if you ask yourselves, as well-educated as you may think you are, do you actually play classical music for your developing infant? Do you do it anymore? Or have you listened to the left-wing psychologists and educators who tell you that you don't need to do that? Just drug the child, and she'll do just fine. Play it loud, because you're listening to one of the greatest pieces of music ever written.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Is any wonder that I lie on the rug and look in Teddy's eyes sometimes and wonder at God's creations? My little 9-10 pound little poodle, unless he put on weight. How does he stay in such shape? All right, it's enough already. You know, sometimes I play with my dog. And I talk to him. I admit it, I do talk to him. And I don't know whether he understands me. I assume he knows what he needs to know to con me for food, a walk, and a little hug. But he makes believe he understands me. I mean, I've had dogs since I'm a little boy. But sometimes when I want to be nice and I want to forget the world, I play with the dog and I say, Teddy, God gave you one suit when you were born, and it's still perfect. You never had to buy another one. Or I hold his little paws, his little leathery paws, with those long, sharp nails, and I look at him and I say, Teddy, God gave you one pair of shoes when you were born, and you've never needed to have them replaced. I mean, did you ever wonder about that with animals? Isn't it a beautiful thing? I mean, remember, I began as a biologist in college, and I did so because, I mean, the kids who went to college with me were all going to be doctors. They were practical kids, doctors or such. I mean, those of us who liked the life sciences became doctors, let's put it that way. Those who hated life became lawyers. No, I'm just joking. I know some very nice lawyers. In fact, some of my best friends are lawyers. But generally, those of us interested in life became doctors. I didn't have the brain for that. I just wasn't made for that. I was embarrassed that I couldn't memorize as well as they could. I was embarrassed I could not memorize as well as the lawyers who came out memorizing law books so they could screw people. Or counterwise, prevent people from being screwed, whichever side of the law they're on. If they're really bad, if they were really bad lawyers after law school and they weren't smart enough, they never went into private practice. They went to work for the government. And it didn't matter which side of the government you worked for, Republican, Democrat, these are generally the lowest level of lawyers. Except at the highest level of the legal world, they're brought in as damage control for the president and the top rung. But in the bureaucracies, they're generally loser lawyers who can't get a job or don't have the guts to take a job in the real world of law. I mean, that's the truth. Ask lawyers. Government lawyers are not the smartest of the bunch. They're basically dull pencils who use the power of the government to get their way. But nevertheless, I'm saying those of us who were interested in life and life sciences, when I was a kid, went to generally, you figure, how are you going to make a living? Just give me a doctor. Well, that wasn't my calling. See, I was more interested in the glint in the animal's eye than in the animal itself. I was more interested in why the eye had a light in it rather than the physiology and the anatomy of the lab rat. I wanted to know why the eye burned so brightly. I didn't understand the spirit, especially the spirit of the human being. And I guess that's sort of where I'm a hybrid or a blend of people in that regard, and my interests vary from science to art, civilization, the low, the high. And today we're talking about white male inventions. We're celebrating European civilization and culture on the Savage Nation. And if you missed the first hour, I played Dylan Thomas reading a piece he wrote at his father's, for his father's funeral called, I forget, The Dying of the Light. Or I forget the exact title. It's beyond anything you could ever imagine. And we played Mozart's Requiem, also written for his father's death. It was an amazing day for me. I guess because my father died on the 24th of the month and I didn't in any way remember it. I was just checking the calendar. It was so long ago, 1970. And truthfully, I never cried for my father in my whole life because, well, just that we were like two elk. He was the male elk of the family, and I was the young buck, and we fought all the time. I mean, that's the truth. And I couldn't wait to get out of the house, and I got out as fast as I could, and I never looked back. But the fact is when you look back as an older man and you realize that one day you too shall go by the way of all flesh, you know, you start to see things in a slightly different way. And I guess that's why I'm just playing this Requiem and the Dylan Thomas stuff today. Who knows? I hope you don't mind. I mean, the fact of the matter is, listen to me. You've been with me for years, most of you. Most of you are not new listeners. And I realize that many of you have listened to me for years. Some have listened to me since you're little children. Do you know that? Do you know that I meet people who grew up as children listening to this show who are now full adults? I have met people who were babies who are now married as a result of the politics that they picked up on this radio show. Their minds were formed by thinking about what their mother or father was saying to them while listening to the Savage Nation. So it's been quite a long while. I mean, the thing is, it's 20 years of radio. You're bound to make a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. But the thing is I would rather talk to my friends than my enemies, and I wish my enemies would just go away. I don't need them. I don't need these Lilliputians. They don't matter much to me. They can't hurt me because I never make a mistake that will let them hurt me. And they're just wasting their time. They ought to look for a better thing to do with their time than try to bring down people like myself, who so many people love and respect and admire. And despite all of the naysayers, the haters on the left, including the haters on the fake right, my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I've got to tell you, I began as a poet and as a writer. Truthfully, it's not literature in that regard. I get it. But every word in that book, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter title is mine. 3 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Why? Not on Fox News. Martha Washington wouldn't have me on. She'd rather have a pimp from ISIS on. Martha Washington, who poses as the lady savior of the conservative movement, would not have Michael Savage on. She'd rather have a rock and roller with dark glasses on. You know what? Despite her spite, despite all the others in the media who consider to be on the same side of the aisle as me, who make believe I don't exist, somehow the show is growing. We just got the ratings in for September. They're way up. You should know that. Radio's been floundering up and down, this and that. But the month of September was fabulous because the ball games were over from the ball season, which was affecting talk radio a lot in some bigger cities. And the radio show is doing well. The book is doing well. I mean, I'm doing well. My family's doing well. I have nothing to complain about. I'm not complaining. I'm just in one of my black moods. It's that simple. It happened to the best of people that I always respected. So what should I do, not be on the radio because I'm depressed? Now, why am I depressed even though things are doing well in my life? Why am I picking such dark subjects and dark things? Why am I looking at the Queen of the Night aria, which is one of the darkest arias? I mean, the title of it in English is Hell's Vengeance Boils in My Heart. The second aria sung by the Queen of the Night in Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute. Why did I pick on that? I could have picked on anything. Why did I pick on something as dark as that? Why did I play Mozart's Requiem, written for his father's death? Why did I seek out Dylan Thomas, The Dying of the Light? Why? Who knows why? I don't know. I'm an emotional person. I'm a moody person. But it doesn't really affect my thinking. It affects me, but not my thinking. I can think no matter what mood I'm in. Did you know that? And that's as simple as that. That's why I'm on the radio. Now, I watched the game last night in San Francisco. And I watched it so much as a cultural observer as a person who lives in San Francisco. It's not that I'm so highbrow that I don't understand the significance of a World Series to the average person who has nothing else in their life. I understand it, looking at the fans in the streets afterwards, They have nothing to live for. You could see the eyes, the deltas and the gammas, the born factory workers, the chicken pluckers. In another age, they would have been chicken pluckers. Now, basically, they're unemployable, celebrating, getting drunk, beating each other up, stabbing each other in San Francisco. And you see that the country has basically fallen down to the level of Uruguay in the old soccer matches. I used to look down upon South American soccer fans as kind of some idiots. You know, they get so excited over a soccer team. But we're not too far from that today. Oh, I know. This went on years ago, and someone will dig up some scholarly study that'll show that in 1934 in the World Series, white men rioted too. I get it. You'll always find something to justify what you're saying. So you know what? Get yourself a radio show and do it if you wish. But as I watched the Giants fans last night cheering after the game as though they themselves played the game, I was amazed at how the common man hasn't changed since Roman times as they cheered on the gladiators who killed the Christians. Now, I'm not saying that the ball players were the equivalent of the gladiators. They could have just as well been the Christians for all I know. And I do appreciate the pitching, and I do appreciate the batting, and I do appreciate the running. I even appreciated the flubbing. I wonder what will happen to those guys who dropped the ball. I could not believe that in the eighth inning. I mean, I was a kid. I played ball. If I had done that on a team in junior high school, I never would have played again. How do these guys stay on a team? An ordinary hit to the center field and the guy drops it, then the other schmuck runs after it, drops it again, and he's still a baseball player? I don't understand that part of it. And thank God the Giants had a good pitcher who could strike the other guys out. But the field, I mean, where'd they get these guys from? They must have come from the Seattle Seahawks. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We can talk now, I guess, about the main nurse who defied authorities with a bike ride. I mean, I have an answer to that one. She doesn't need a quarantine. She's smarter than you are. She knows she doesn't have Ebola, just as the selfish doctor from Doctors Without Borders, the other good liberal, just knew he was of no threat to anyone riding the subway, bowling, eating in restaurants. He knew better than everybody. After all, his boss, President Ebola, told him that there was no threat. His boss, Anthony Fauci, and the other one told him not to worry because he was taking his temperature. Well, then, unfortunately, he got Ebola. So the Maine nurse who was quarantined by Christie was released. She goes back to Maine under self-quarantine, and she takes a bike ride with her dumb moron boyfriend and says, I'm not going to be quarantined. I know I'm no threat to anybody. I'm above the law. I'm a law unto myself. I know what I'm doing. And then she gets a lawyer who, in my opinion, well, I can't say it. You know how much I love lawyers. You know what I think of lawyers, like civil rights lawyers. So she has a civil rights lawyer named Siegel who is arguing that she doesn't need to be quarantined because he's a lawyer and he'll sue the state if they quarantine her. Now, as you well know, if we lived in a sane country, Siegel would be arrested along with her for endangering the public health. Period. End of story. You know what, Siegel? Tell you what. You sure she's safe? I'll tell you what. We're gonna listen to you, Mr. Siegel. Both of you are going to be quarantined in her house for 30 days. Crash goes the gavel. Next case. Let Siegel be screaming as they take him away for the first time in his life. I'd love to see Siegel of the New York Civil Liberties Union screaming as they cart him off into the Ebola nurse's house. You can't do this. I'm Norman Siegel of the New York Civil Liberties Union. You can't do this. You can't do this to me. Oh, would I love to see Siegel thrown into a quarantine with her and her boyfriend. I mean, he could have all the food he wanted delivered right from New York. Anything he wanted. The governor of Maine could send it up by airplane. They could FedEx it to old Siegel. But let him live with her in her house for 30 days. And then, you know what, say, Siegel, you know what, we agree with you. She's no threat, so we're going to put you in a house with her. Her house. Under house arrest. And that's all. Goodbye. Next case, crash goes the gavel. But then you understand why I am on radio and I'm not a judge or a jury or an executioner. I'm simply an American with an opinion. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
It's a
Savage Nation, headline, Obama prepares amnesty plan. Breaking news, top of the Drudge Report, Obama prepares amnesty plan. Just as we warned you, the so-called White House is going to extend amnesty to millions upon millions of lawbreakers in the country illegally. Not only cutting deportations, but increasing the flood of illegal aliens into the nation, including non-U.S. citizens being brought in for treatment of the Ebola virus disease. This is an amazing story. In any other time, anyone who did this would probably be arrested for sedition. But the man has gotten away with so much over 6 years that he figures, well, one more thing, they're going to do nothing. The Jews still vote for me, even though I've stabbed Israel in the back, and I'm about to give Iran a nuclear bomb. So what do I care? The libs, they'll go with me no matter what I do. They'll follow me through the gates of you-know-where. And, well, the conservatives hate me anyway. So what do I care? I need that old Hispanic vote, so I'll prepare an amnesty plan. Meanwhile, another headline. In New Hampshire, 71% of new jobs go to foreign-born legal and illegal immigrants. 71% of all new jobs in the little state of New Hampshire, a bellwether, go to foreign-born immigrants, legal and illegal. A new report by the Center for Immigration Studies shows that the state with senators who voted for the Gang of Eight immigration bill has 71% of its job growth going to legal and illegal immigrants. Senators Jean Shaheen, a Democrat, New Hampshire, and Kelly Ayotte, Republican, so-called, of New Hampshire, both voted for Senate Bill 744, which would have given legal status to millions of illegals. Well, you get the picture. The share of individuals known as natives, that's an interesting phrase in New Hampshire, holding a job in the state of New Hampshire, has declined. And guess who was affected most by this trend of illegals and legal immigrants taking jobs? New Hampshire citizens without a college degree. In other words, the poorest of the poor have gotten struck the worst by the liberal regime running in America. Is it any wonder they're not reading Stop the Coming Civil War?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about the train coming apart, the wheels falling off the bus. But it's not just about what Obama and his administration are experiencing. It's what he's doing to the nation, if not the world itself. You have to understand how powerful this man is. You may not like his policies. You may see him as demonic. But the damage he's doing is global, whether it be Iran getting a nuclear weapon, Israel being further isolated. I'll go down the list with you if you want. I do. How about what's going on in America? You know, the biggest issue for this election are not the issues I generally talk about, incidentally. Every poll shows the biggest issue is the economy. Oh, there are people concerned about Ebola, and there are people concerned about radical Islam, and there are people concerned about the war, and Russia, and China. And I'll go down the list. The number one issue for most people is the war in the middle class. I don't know if you know this. I rarely talk about fiscal matters. I assume you all know them, but I was wrong. You don't all know them. So I decided to do something for you, which I can't do right now. I'm going to take some calls. Then when I come back, I'm going to read to you some of the highlights from Chapter 5 called The War on the Middle Class from my best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Because let us say your friend, neighbor, or family member is a lifetime Lib Dem. And no matter what Obama has done or will do, they're going to vote for a Democrat, no matter what. I'd like to read you some of the bullet points from that chapter so that you can use them if you have the book or if you're going to grab the book over the weekend before the election to convince one person of the damage that he's done to the middle class. But let's go back to what I built up over the last 90 minutes, which was about Mozart, Western civilization, European civilization, if you want to call it that, white male inventions, things like that. Then we'll get into the politics of the economy on the Savage Nation. WABC John, thanks for holding so long. Give us your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have to tell you, I'm a Freemason, as was Mozart, but I have to tell you that I find The Magic Flute to be one of the most boring operas I've ever seen. However, I love Tchaikovsky's other music. I love...
Whoa, you said Tchaikovsky. Wait, but you said Tchaikovsky. It's Mozart.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mozart. He was a Mason. So was Beethoven. But I also love other...
Wait, let's pause for a minute. It doesn't matter whether you like it and I don't like it. I like it. It doesn't matter. What is the influence in your mind of Freemasonry on Mozart's genius?
Well, of course, the opera, The Magic Flute, is replete with references to Freemasonry. So I can't begin
but
to...
I have a friend who's a Freemason, who's one of the bravest people I know and smartest people I know. And he's very deeply into physics and mathematics. Isn't that a key... Aren't those key elements of Freemasonry?
Yes, I mean, geometry is the basis of Freemasonry.
All right, so look at what we're getting at here. Mozart's music has been analyzed mathematically, as has Beethoven's. Isn't that correct?
I don't know about Beethoven's. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yes, in other words, what I'm saying is the mathematics of his music is perfect. It's sublime, and I think that that's as big an element as any in the reason it's so powerful, is that it's mathematically perfect.
Well, most classical music, I would think, has a
very... And that's one of the reasons I recommend playing it to developing infants who don't even talk, who are still crawling, is that playing music like this for a child will help their brain develop, as opposed to letting random music be played around the child, or television playing in the background, or God knows what is going into that child's brain. Look, the studies have been done on a pregnant woman. What the baby is receiving in the womb is even... somewhat important in the development of the brain.
Well,
thanks for the call. So he doesn't like it, even though he's a Mason. I am not a Mason. No one ever invited me to join, but I probably wouldn't anyway, because as I said 1,000 times, it's the old Groucho. It's true, the old Groucho Marx thing. Any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't join, which is one of the funniest things I ever said. That's almost as good as the Requiem. In the world of comedy, Groucho Marx's line, Any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't join. I would say that's as good as the Magic Flute. It's as good as the Requiem itself. What else would you like to talk about? Michigan! WJR, Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Michael Savage. Along with that toolmaker that called you earlier ago, I'm from the manufacturing sector also, but I've been studying philosophy lately. Through Ayn Rand, and I've learned that mankind has to live under philosophies, and whenever a country lives under Aristotle, they flourish, and whenever they live under Plato or Immanuel Kant or B.F. Skinner philosophy, they tend to perish and fall through the cracks.
No, wait, hold on. Wait. You said all mankind needs to live under a philosophy to flourish, but then you gave us examples of societies that flourished under one type of thinking and didn't flourish under the other, so it's not all philosophies that help a society flourish, are they?
Correct. We're living under the wrong philosophies.
I think that's your main point. You're right. The philosophy of Obama is clearly, there's so many different ways to describe it. You know, I took a whole book to do it, but the thing is, how would you summarize Obama's philosophy?
I would summarize it as Immanuel Kant, Plato, and B.F. Skinner, who wrote a book called Beyond Freedom and Dignity, which I see those people with help signs on the street corners all the time. They're beyond.
I would put it in a more simplistic manner. I would say Obama's philosophy is anti-European. It started with his juvenile view of all Europeans as colonialists. Look at him taking out the bust of Winston Churchill when he became president. Remember that?
Yes.
So he saw all Europeans as colonists, as imperialists, and he was going to be different than them. Look how different he is. Just look how different he is. Look how democratic this man really is. He's as close to an absolute dictator this country has ever seen. So isn't it funny that he is actually the enemy that he hates? His actions are that of everyone he actually detests. How does that figure? How does that work out?
I'm not sure, but what Ayn Rand added to Aristotle's philosophy, a more modern take on it, was the fact that capitalism well, actually belongs to the citizens and not to the government. It's how we chase our dreams, and it goes hand in hand with individualism.
I see. Well, it's very interesting. Now, why would you say Immanuel Kant is the negativist as a philosopher? How did he diminish a society?
Well, from what I understand, he taught that there basically is no reality. And I talk to people in my area that are progressively educated like this all the time. We'll have a discussion.
Are you sure you're not talking about Woody Allen as opposed to Immanuel Kant? I mean, maybe you're looking at the philosophy of Woody Allen. I don't know. I mean, I read Kant in college. I don't remember him as a negativist of that type.
Well, this is what I'm learning from Ayn Rand. She's all I've studied so far.
I see. Let me see a quick search. Hey, let me send you my philosophy and stop the coming civil war. Stay on the line. Immanuel Kant was a German philosopher who I think is going to be central for your modern philosophy. He argued that fundamental concepts structure human experience and that reason is the source of morality. That's what I thought. Immanuel Kant argued that reason is the source of morality. I don't see that as negative. In fact, he was one of the great rationalists. I thought so. See, it's better to read them in the original and in translation than to read someone who you think is talking about them but may not be. He didn't say that there is no reality. Okay, he did argue that one really never has direct experience. He did say that. He did say that what we experience is the phenomenal world as conveyed by our senses. I mean, what does that mean? He's splitting hairs. You're talking about subject-object. You know, I once wrote a paper on Martin Buber that was the most copied and stolen paper in the history of Queen's College at its time. It was passed around from person to person. I got an A on it. I was really into Martin Buber's philosophy as an undergrad at little old Queen's College. And I had to read the book I and Thou. Raise your hand if you remember the book I and Thou. Does anyone know who Buber is? He's not a pitcher for the Giants. He is not related anyway to even the umpire for the Giants. But Martin Buber was a philosopher who wrote a very important small paper treatise called I and Thou. And it was about the interaction between individuals. And I had to take it in philosophy. I don't know what class I took it in. But more importantly, I had to write a paper describing what I and Thou was about. Teacher gave me an A, and I was just a kid from a non-educated family. They were very smart people but never went to college. But they were inherently very smart, which is more important than people who are educated and not very smart. Of course, the best combination is people who are very smart or highly educated. That's the most important combination. But nevertheless, they were highly intelligent and not educated. And I wrote it in the form of the way a young man would look at philosophy for the first time without knowing what to say or what not to say. And I just thought about it using my own inability to think. And I said, well, Martin Buber meant this when he's talking about the I-Thou relationship. Well, that paper became the most copied paper in Queen's College in its time. I think it's still going around many decades later with different people's names on it. I wouldn't know. I gave it to one person who couldn't write their own paper just to study, and they took the exact paper. It was 5 years later, put their name on it, and got an A as well. Today they might get a D. Who knows with what's teaching there now? Take a look at them. All of them look like Janet Reno and whatever. But I guess what I'm saying is I did read Kant in college. I just forgot him. I don't read philosophy at all anymore. I mean, I just live. That's my philosophy. Okay, let's have the news sounder quickly. We need it now because we have breaking news for you. All right, breaking news. We have secured the secret State Department document from Fox News, garnered by Adam Housley, admitting non-U.S. citizens to the United States for treatment of Ebola virus disease. We have the entire document right here for you on the Savage Nation the minute I return. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. All right, so, Neil, let's play for the people the president promising us that there will be more cases of Ebola in America by saying that he can't promise that there won't be.
I want America to understand. The truth is that until we stop this outbreak in West Africa, we may continue to see individual cases in America in the weeks and months ahead. Because that's the nature of today's world. We can't hermetically seal ourselves off.
Yes, we can, Mr. Obama. Australia just did it. You're lying again. There's a nefarious reason you refuse to stop travel from West Africa. The king has no clothing. Everyone can see through you now, Mr. Obama. I mean, Australia just hermetically sealed themselves off, and they're a continent unto themselves, and they've sealed themselves off. They said, no, no one's coming in with Ebola. No one's traveling from West Africa. Goodbye. And so have 30 other countries. So let me tell it to you again, all of you morons out there who are going to vote D on Tuesday. Listen to me, morons, if you think this is just an entertainment. You ready for this, morons? Put your car on the roadside. African nations surrounding Liberia and other Ebola-stricken nations have banned all travel in and out of these Ebola-stricken nations with these other African nations, which tells us what, Democrat morons? Tells us that third world African dictators care more about their people than does our dictator. That's my breaking news for today. He is a liar through and through. The science doesn't support what he's saying. Politics doesn't support what he's saying. But more than those factors, common sense doesn't support what he is saying. The average person who may have gone to the sixth grade knows he's lying. You take an illegal alien from Mexico working on a construction site, and you speak to him in Spanish, and you say to him, hey, listen, you know what Ebola is? Sure, I know what Ebola is. You know that it wasn't here until the president let them in from Africa. Yeah, I know that. Do you think we should let more in from Africa to treat them in? No, no, no. Well, what would you do, Pedro? Oh, man, I would shut off all travel from Africa into the country. Man, I don't want to get it. I don't want my kids to get it. It's common sense. How do you think the human race has survived these millennia? Through common sense. Not through a high education. Not through men in white coats with stethoscopes doing agitprop. Common sense has kept your ancestors alive, and has probably kept you alive long enough to listen to this show. Is it commonsensical to believe what this charlatan just said? No, it's not commonsensical. There's a nefarious reason that he and his cohorts want to continue to bring in Ebola-stricken patients to this country, and why he refuses to impose a travel ban on such countries. There must be a travel ban. As a matter of fact, there must be a quarantine, and he refuses to even do that. As a matter of fact, his own military has turned on him. There's been a sort of coup. You don't know that. But the military has turned on this commander-in-chief because they don't want their troops to die. So they're putting in a 21-day quarantine on all the troops that are being forced against their will to go to Africa to work on this Ebola epidemic. So at least they're saying, all right, we have to send these young men and women over there, and they don't want to be at risk. They don't want to infect the whole military and their families. We'll put them in a quarantine for 21 days. So there's been a coup, an internal coup, a coup of the intellect, if you want to put it that way. Not a, I don't mean a military coup in the sense that you would say deposing Napoleon and sending him to Elba. No, not sending him to Elba exactly, not sending him to Corsica. When they had enough of the dictator who almost destroyed France. No, but the military said enough is enough. We're not listening to this commie anymore. We're not listening to this charlatan who couldn't even walk up the steps of Air Force One for the first 2 months. He looked embarrassed. His legs were shaking, saying, holy God, how did I pull this off? They saw through it. Those are the men who save the country by fighting ISIS. They're the ones who are doing it, not you, not me. They know what we're facing. They know how dangerous the situation is. And the last thing they want to do is infect the United States military with Ebola. So they put in a 21-day quarantine. But not President Ebola, who doesn't know Ebola from Shinola, because he's listening to the wrong people. He is listening to left-wing ideologues in the NIH and in the CDC, who I will say for the 50th time if I've said it once, made their bones during the AIDS epidemic and are attempting to apply the same thinking and the same protocols to the Ebola epidemic. I mean, this statement that I just made is aimed strictly at the medical world who listens to me. You know I'm right. The average person doesn't know what I just said. I may as well have spoken in the Hungarian. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. Thanks for going with my moods. Thanks for making Stop the Coming Civil War, a bestseller for 3 weeks in a row, despite the blackout by Fox News.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are likely to see a possible case elsewhere outside of these countries. And that's true whether or not you adopt a travel ban, whether or not you adopt a quarantine. It's the nature of diseases. As long as Ebola exists in the world, no one can promise that there won't be any more cases in America or anyplace else.
Do you realize how illogical this man has become? Now, I don't know whether it's a product of his liberalism or it's a product of his inability to reason at all. I don't understand how he can make a statement like that. He says it's the nature of disease that no one can promise there won't be more cases in America or any place in the world. Well, that's logically true. But it's also logically true that if you bring people in with Ebola, you statistically increase the risk of the epidemic breaking out in America in a larger number. Do you understand the danger we are in when we have a man in the White House who cannot reason or refuses to reason or continues to put out statements that make no sense whatsoever? If I were to take the statement that he just made and had a child read it, what would you say to that child? Let's take away his booming Kenyan voice that he's used so well to con the people for so many years. Take away the booming voice that he inherited from his father. Lucky man. Now let's put in the voice of a child. Child movie star playing that of a child. Let me read it to you. We're likely to see a possible case elsewhere outside of these countries. Well, that's true. Whether or not you adopt a travel ban. Whether or not you adopt a quarantine. It's the nature of diseases. As long as Ebola exists in the world, no one can promise there won't be more cases in America or anyplace else. Shakespeare would have written that paragraph for the fool in one of his great plays. The fool would have said a thing like that. Why would he call him a fool? Because a fool has no reason. A fool makes statements that are foolish. So what do you do if you have a president who's acting like a fool? Everything he says is foolish. Listen to this clip two. Take away his booming voice and insert the voice of the fool. Listen to clip two.
We are likely to see a possible case elsewhere outside of these countries.
Is there any way?
And that's true whether or not you adopt a travel ban, whether or not you adopt a quarantine. It's the nature of diseases. As long as Ebola exists in the world, no one can promise that there won't be any more cases in America or anyplace else.
Now, listening to him, and I'm an expert on voice recognition technology, I have it in my brain. What I heard was a man who went off the cuff, no teleprompter, and was just spitting out statements he heard from Anthony Fauci and the other clown there at the CDC and a few of the other jerks in the health departments who are repeating the same doxies to each other. And then he kind of, okay, fine, I'll give a speech now. The people are too stupid with the World Series. What's the difference? I'll say what I want. Because what he just said made no sense. But it gets even worse. Now he's going to yell at you again with his big booming voice to tell you you have no reason to be scared in clip three. Listen to this.
I know that with all the headlines and all the news, that people are scared. I know that Ebola has concerned them. But the reason I'm so proud of this country is because when there are times where we need to step up and do the right thing, we do the right
God.
Thing. Oh, God. That's who we are.
That's what who we are.
No other nation is doing as much to help in West Africa as the United States of America.
Because we're the most idiotic people on earth who have no choice in the matter. We have no representative government whatsoever, Mr. Obama, and you know it. That's the only reason we're doing more than anyone else to stop the epidemic is because we have no choice in the matter. But if you were allowed the people to vote as to whether they want a travel ban, It would be 95-5, yes, travel ban. If you were to vote in America and say we want a Democratic vote, should that nurse in Maine be quarantined against her will, it would be 99-1, maybe 98-1. This is not leadership. This is a rogue president and a rogue administration that is not hiding under the covers over the Ebola panic. This is an administration hiding under the liberal doxies during the Ebola panic. I want you to listen to clip 5 because it gets comic at this point. We need a comedian like Benny Hill, who's long dead, with the Benny Hill music. Do you have the Benny Hill music? That's what we should do, is play some of his sound bites with Benny Hill music. No, we can't do it in time. I make it up as we go along. What I'd like to do is take what Obama's about to say in clip 5 and play it, stretching the words out as though it's someone speaking on Laughing Gas. Listen to clip 5.
So I guess my biggest message, and I'm pretty sure this is a message that all the folks behind me, including the ones with the white coats, would confirm.
White coats.
Is that it's critical that we remain focused on the facts and on the science. Keep in mind that of the seven Americans treated...
Again, this is the same liar who has been pushing the global warming lie from the day he took office, saying that all the science is in, there's no disagreement, there's no dissension. And as the only trained scientist in major radio media, Michael Savage, the only trained scientist in the radio media, Michael Savage, I told you that's a logically, in fact, incorrect statement. You can never say all the science is in, there's no disagreement. That's never true. In fact, the first tenet of science is something that Obama never learned in Alinsky's college. The first tenet of science, which I learned in the seventh grade, Mr. Obama, is that there are no absolutes. And yet here was a president telling us there's an absolute 100% agreement that there's global warming caused by man, and we must impose restrictions on Western civilization and cripple it, while China does nothing to cripple their pollution. So right away, I knew I was dealing with a very dangerous situation when it came to the global warming lie that he and Kerry and the other clowns were putting out. The minute he said all of the science is in and all scientists agree, I knew he was lying. Well, it's the same big lie again. You know, back in the Soviet Union, I think it was the 1920s, there was a scandal called the Lysenko Affair. Look it up. Lysenko. I learned it in college. This was a government scientist who fabricated his studies in genetics to conform with that of the Communist Party. And any scientist who disagreed with the tenets of the Communist Party with regard to evolution and genetics was thrown out of the academy, thrown out of their position, basically thrown into the gulag. This is the Soviet Union of the Barack Obama School of Soviet Science. Of course there's no science in what he's saying. There's no common sense in what he's saying. I don't care if he got 1,000 prostitutes in white coats. It wouldn't matter to me. Because you could probably find 1,000 with white coats who would disagree with him. But this is government agitprop. With all the white coats would confirm. This is unbelievable. During the American Revolution, they would say the red coats are coming. The red coats are coming. Under Obama, the new adage is the white coats are coming. The white coats are coming. Now, I know Halloween is tomorrow, so I could go into they're coming to take me away, away. They're coming to take you away, away. That would be funny. But I'm not going to do that. We have the most dangerous president in American history who seems to be off the rails here on virtually everything he's saying. Off the rails. So let's go to some of the calls who have been hanging on a long time. Boise, Idaho, KBOI. Todd, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening for over a decade now. You've basically become the only teacher I ever had that I actually like.
Thank you.
Hey, if there's any doubt that the Democrat Party is nothing more than American Communist Party now, in a city, Seattle, the most liberal city in the country, they have a 14-foot bronze statue of Vladimir Lenin in a community called Fremont. So.
Yeah, no, it's sad what happened to Seattle. I used to love going to that city when I was on book tours years ago. And what happened is that many of the most extreme liberals from San Francisco drove up to Portland and Seattle over the last 25 years and polluted those cities, politically that is, to the extent that the cities are crippled politically and economically, and especially politically. They're crippled, and they're a single-party city where no dissension is permitted. So a statue to Lenin is perfectly fitting in Seattle, as a statue to Marx would be fitting in San Francisco or in Berkeley, California. Thank you for the call. And by the way, thank you for listening for all of these years to the Savage Nation. Now, here's a very interesting sounder, which is the, I cannot believe it, even Hegel, well, he's listening to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Hegel looks like he hasn't made a decision in at least 40 years. The last decision Hegel made, I think, was how to comb his hair and brush his teeth. But Hegel, who's the defense secretary, orders a mandatory 21-day quarantine for military returning from Africa. It's astounding that there's been a sort of intellectual coup against Obama and his white coats in Clip 7.
What I signed this morning was a memorandum to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in response to the memorandum of recommendation I received from the chairman and the chiefs yesterday to go forward with a policy of essentially 21-day incubation for our men and women who would be returning
from West Africa. Are you listening to what's going on in your country? This mealy-mouthed, double-talking front man, Hegel, just said that he agreed to a 21-day quarantine for troops because he was told to do so by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mr. Dempsey, General Dempsey, God bless him. But he won't even call it a quarantine. He called it incubation. This is something out of the Soviet Union that we're living through. I just can't believe what I'm listening to. Something out of the Soviet Union. They won't even call quarantine quarantine. They call it incubation now. Incubation. This is a very dangerous situation, but it explains why our brave men in the U.S. Air Force are not being permitted to take the gloves off and blow the cockroaches and ISIS back to kingdom come. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening thus far. The phone number is 855-407-2282, and I must tell you this. Stop the Coming Civil War, despite the blacklist by Fox News, has week number three made it back onto the New York Times list. What's interesting is it's moving back up the list. It was number 5 week one, became number 9 week two, and last week it bounced back to number 8. You know why? Because the blockade inside the warehouses has finally been broken. The book is in the stores, and if you're going to buy it at all, I need you to buy it before the election. It's as simple as that. Convert one person from an R to an R. That is, get the Republicans who are not going to vote to vote. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We are talking about the madman in the White House on the Savage Nation. We learned that the president and his administration of not-so-merry pranksters are planning to bring non-citizens to the United States for Ebola treatment. Can anyone listening to this show tell me why that makes sense? Can anyone tell me why the Chicago activist continues to do this? Can anyone tell me that you don't really think the guy is nuts? Because I think he's crossed the Rubicon of sanity. I've never seen anything like this. And as a student of personality, studying both my own personality for several decades now and the personalities of others, and reading Freud, Engel, Jung, and other psychologists, I would say this is a man who has oppositional defiant disorder at a level I've never seen. It's you see this in children who, when you tell them don't do something, they'll do it in, you know, more strongly. You say, don't do it, Johnny does it again and again and again. You say, Johnny, if you do it again, and Johnny does it again and again. Whatever you tell Johnny to do, to not do, you tell Johnny to do it, he won't do it. You tell Johnny to do it, he won't do it. What we have is a president acting like an infant. So he's going against science. He's making the science up. He's violating the primary rules of epidemiology. He's violating the science itself by saying he's using science, which is a lie. He's abusing the word science itself by saying he's using science. What does that mean? That's the same scientists who tell you there's global warming when there is no global warming? Is that the same science? The science is proven when we all know it's not proven? So he's got a bunch of clowns with white coats now. They're the experts now on epidemiology and epidemics and Ebola. They're all world experts. And such experts are going against the principles of epidemiology. That's how expert they are. So the question is, what do we, the people, do? Well, there's very little we can do except vote on Tuesday. And when there will be a landslide, I want it to be an earthquake. Say, well, I don't really want to reward the Republicans. They're tepid. They don't stand for borders, language, and culture. They really don't. They will. I can guarantee you that when I get through with them, when they win, and you get through with them, they will be harassed. They will be harried. They will not rest 1 minute if they go back on their word. If they go back on their word, they will never, ever have another peaceful minute. What's intriguing about this topic, in addition to that, is that the head of the RNC, Rinso Priebus, the lackluster chairman of the Republican National Committee, says that the GOP will stop Obama's un-American amnesty if we win the Senate. Now, he gave this speech to a Tea Party group, and he said, I don't support amnesty. It is wrong. It is un-American for a president to try and do such a thing. He said, there is not a molecule in my body that agrees with the president on executive amnesty. One woman asked Priebus why the sergeant-at-arms hasn't arrested Obama for our wide-open borders. And the head of the RNC handled it like this. He said, I understand there's a little bit of hyperbole, but I understand your point, which is the president's role in the Constitution is to enforce the law. So the president wants to take Article 2 and ignore that part to enforce the law. He wants to be Article 1, which is the legislature, and write all the laws, and then he's appointing all of his judges to take care of Article 3. So the RNC is promising us that when we give them the earthquake on Tuesday, they will then stop the amnesty that Obama's planning for 34 million illegal aliens, including cop killers, no doubt. After all, every one of them is a potential voter. You say, well, come on, he wouldn't want cop killers to be granted a green card. Well, let me ask you good liberals, how is he going to tell the difference? There aren't enough government workers to screen the 34 million, are there? No, not at all. Now, why is he sending troops into harm's way, into Ebola-stricken nations? Why? Why is that not the job of African nations to take care of their own problems? I would say send them the money. They have the manpower. Why are they there? No one knows. No one has an answer to any of this. So we're in a quandary here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Today we are celebrating European culture and civilization, and I went into a little piece on the in White Male Inventions, which I wrote back in 1999. It was published then. And I presented an argument. It was a very interesting argument. And I'm celebrating European culture and civilization because I, for one, have had enough of the browbeating by Barack Obama and his cohorts. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the Arab imperialism. I'm sick of hearing about how great the Arab culture is when it's done nothing since giving the world a zero. It's given us nothing but throat-cutting and murder. I don't understand why intelligent people would spend their lives plotting how to bring others down. I don't quite get it. Can you imagine the world that we live in, a place that it would be if the Arab mind was devoted to advancing humanity rather than segmenting humanity and putting forth a sort of Arab imperialism? Can you imagine the world it could be if there was cooperation instead of hatred? Can you imagine if we had a president who was a uniter instead of a divider? I could unite this country better than Barack Obama. Anyone could, for that matter. I don't think there's a politician on the Republican side who couldn't do a better job. Whatever lowly congressman out there, as long as he was a man who had experience in Iraq or Afghanistan, would be a better president than this community organizer who has divided people unlike any division I've seen in my lifetime, studying it since the 1960s, when the country almost fell apart. I have so many beautiful things I want to say and do for you. Let's go to De Holerach Kosht in meinem Herzen. I made my point. It's one of the most difficult arias to sing. Very few people can do it. It's called the Queen of the Night aria from the Magic Flute by Mozart. So it's not for any particular symbolic reason that I'm playing the Queen of the Night. It's just that it's one of the most phenomenal pieces of music I've ever heard in my life. And it's, I guess it's not taught or people don't know much about it. It's almost laughable to a person who would, let us say, pay attention to some other forms of culture or art. I'm not a highbrow kind of guy, but I can appreciate the high and the low. I can drink in the dirtiest dive bar in the city and enjoy it as much as drinking on top of Knob Hill. In fact, sometimes more so, but often I would rather watch television and drink scotch by myself. The fact of the matter is you don't have to be one thing or the other to understand how great certain things are and how menial other things are. And I guess that's why I'm trying to do this show in a different way today. It's, yeah, I'll talk about Obama on Ebola, the most bumbling president in history, because if you ask yourself, what sane man on earth would bring foreign patients with Ebola to America? You'd say there is no sane man who would do it. It's impossible to believe. Meanwhile, 150 Iraqi tribesmen opposed to ISIS found in a mass grave. Did you see that little story from Reuters? Did you see the story about Obama's henchmen calling Netanyahu a war hero, a coward? Did you hear about that story? Calling Benjamin Netanyahu a coward. The real reason that Israel did not attack Iran is just a part of this story. It's a very big story. Now, it's true that Obama did not call Netanyahu a coward, but one of his low-life henchmen did. Meanwhile, Obama is betraying Israel on a daily basis. Meanwhile, John the Shady Man Kerry is doing a backroom deal with Iran, no doubt to give them the ability to build a nuclear weapon right in your lifetime. Now, maybe it's Obama himself who called Netanyahu a coward and one of his minions picked up on it. But the consequence of this insult, the consequences of this insult to Netanyahu are yet to be seen. One of them is the unintended consequence that Israel's military and strategic bonds with Egypt and Saudi Arabia are getting stronger and will get stronger. Why? Because both the Saudis and the Egyptians now see Obama as having betrayed Israel, just as Obama has betrayed Egypt and Saudi Arabia. But I'm warning you what's going to happen. Right after the congressional midterm elections, before the Republican majority Senate is sworn in January, you watch what happens in November and December. If you think that this character has done damage to this country in the last 6 years, you are right. But what he is about to do in November and December will boggle the imagination even of the most devout liberal. Meanwhile, Ebola outbreak, Sierra Leone angry at Australia visa ban. Sierra Leone has condemned Australia's decision to suspend entry visas for people from Ebola-affected countries in West Africa, calling them discriminatory and counterproductive. The move to block the travel from the infected nations to Australia has also been criticized by the Amnesty International. And chiming in as well is UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who said travel restrictions will severely curtail efforts to beat Ebola. He means to Sovietize the illness. Nevertheless, as you well know, there are 10,000 people that we know of who have been infected by the virus. 5,000 of them have died. The vast majority of these poor people are in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. But the Australian government, unlike the lunacy in this government, announced it was canceling non-permanent or temporary visas held by people from the affected countries who were not yet traveling, and that new visa applications would not be processed. Permanent visa holders yet to arrive in Australia must undergo a 21-day quarantine process before departure. Immigration Minister in Australia, Scott Morrison, told Parliament, quote, "The government systems and processes are working to protect Australians." But Sierra Leone's propaganda minister, Alpha Conu, described the move as too draconian and discriminatory, blah, blah, blah. And he said it's discriminatory in that it is not going after Ebola, but rather is going against the 24 million citizens of Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. Certainly is not the right way to go, said the minister. Well, I guess the diplomatic pouches will have to be put on hold, won't they? The little pouches that come in from Africa into Australia will have to be put on hold for a while. Australia has now suspended visas for people from Ebola-affected countries in West Africa. They're protecting Australians, but our madman refuses to do so. Our madman instead is doubling down on his lunacy because he said he is the commander-in-chief. Why is Obama doing this? Does anyone have any idea why he's doing this? I mean, you can come to the glib conclusion that it's... I don't know why, actually. I can't come to a conclusion. I don't think... I mean, they know the science isn't there. They know they're making it up as they go along. It's got to do with the open borders policy. That I understand. Refusal to enact a travel ban. I found the answer to that. The head of the U.S. Travel Agency Commission, or whatever he is, some lobbyist, commended Obama for not putting in a travel ban. So I think he's just being lobbied by travel agents and airlines who want the business. It's that simple. Weeks ago, fake rapper on CNN attacked me, saying that I was attacking the president. I didn't know what I was talking about. I'm not an expert on Ebola. So fake rapper now has egg on his face. Fake rapper on CNN didn't see the latest story. U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are being placed in isolation in Vicenza, Italy, out of concern for the Ebola virus. Well, it's actually not out of concern for the virus. The virus, I mean, making a, who wrote this? What an idiot wrote this? At concern for the Ebola virus? That's some English. Not out of concern for the Ebola virus. It's out of concern for the soldiers, idiot. The soldiers being monitored, including Major General Darrell Williams, who was the commander of the U.S. Army in Africa, but turned over duties to the 101st Airborne Division. Do you understand what Obama's doing to this country? I don't think you understand it. Why would you bring the 101st Airborne into an Ebola zone without expecting some of them to get infected and thereby weakening one of our most elite military forces? Can anyone please tell me I'm wrong? Can anyone please call this show and say, Savage, you're wrong? The enemy within is destroying us. This is the most dangerous time in American history. What I just saw in front of my eyes is worse than I could ever imagine. I could see sending CDC doctors over, U.S. Public Health Service doctors over. That's what they're trained for. But why would this man, this shadowy, strange president of ours, who has done so many things that are questionable at best, take 101st Airborne Division and send them into this Ebola zone when we already know I was right? Didn't I say to you, if you send thousands of troops over there, it's logical that at least one of them would come back having been exposed to the Ebola virus? Remember I said it and I was attacked by CNN's fake rapper? Remember that one? I'm telling you this because people are trying to smear me because I'm a leader, not only in talk radio, but also in the subject that you're hearing about. And the government now wants total control over the propaganda. They want total and absolute control over what you're supposed to think about the dangers of Ebola. And I'm not going to stand here and roll over to them. I'm not going to do it. See, in other words, I'll clash the shield of my credential against anyone's shield in the government. And then we put our shields down. Now let's talk logic here and scientific method, not government rhetoric about open borders, okay, and the superior virtue of the oppressed. I am sick and tired of hearing that rubbish. It'll kill all of us, as those two sheriffs' families who are grieving now know. The asylum policies, the sanctuary policies of Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown killed those sheriff's deputies as sure as I'm standing here. And how any cop, any wife of any police officer could ever vote Democrat after this is beyond me. I give up. It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. You can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. If you want to know what America will look like under Jerry Brown, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat socialist machine wants. Ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Economy, economy, economy. Fiscal, fiscal, fiscal. That's the secret story of this election. Now, the fact of the matter is we're all worried about Ebola. We're worried about a rogue president. We're worried about a mad State Department memo that wants to bring African Ebola patients here. We're worried about an individual who cannot defeat ISIS, a ragtag army without heavy equipment, without an air force. It's going on longer than the Battle of Midway, for example. It's unbelievable. But that's not what most of us think about. You, the man in the street, you're thinking about the economy, the economy, the economy. Why? Because Obama, as a lifetime Leninist, Marxist, socialist, any way you want to put it, just say incompetent college teacher, if you wish, has conducted a war on the middle class from the get-go. Here is what I wrote. The goals of this administration's economic policies are simple. Funnel increasingly worthless billions of dollars into the hands of the economic vultures that have taken over the economy while increasing the number of Americans dependent on the federal government to support them at a subsistence level. That's a remarkable beginning to Chapter 5 of Stop the Coming Civil War. That's right, an entire chapter on the war in the middle class, which is interesting because if you'll notice, the last 3 months Obama's been saying everything he does is for the middle class. Every speech that every socialist Democrat gives is about how they're helping the middle class because they know they've shrunken the middle class. They know that. They've increased the poor and the rich and shrunken the middle. But why did they do that? How did this happen? They did it because that's how a Soviet system evolves. There's a rich class and a poor class with a very small middle class. That's what existed in the former Soviet Union. It was not intended to be that way, but that's what results when you have an extraordinarily large federal government that keeps on ballooning. And that's what you have when you have a welfare class that keeps on ballooning. Who pays for the rich and the poor? You do, the middle class. So in my chapter, what I did was I isolated the paragraphs and sentences that I thought you could use over the weekend to argue with a friend, neighbor, or family member who still thinks Obama loves the middle class. Shall I read some of the key bullet points of Stop the Coming Civil War, the chapter on the economy, stupid? Here they are. They redefined full-time employment as 30 hours a week through Obamacare, which has all but eliminated the core jobs of many middle and upper middle class employees, pushing them into part-time status or causing them to lose their jobs altogether and become dependent on the government for unemployment benefits, food stamps, and welfare in order to survive, page 88. On savings, artificially low interest rates have cost Americans $9 trillion in interest that they should have received on the money in their savings accounts. Instead of the interest going to Americans who responsibly save their money, it was transferred to mega banks so they could gamble it away on risky investments through hedge funds, page 91. The picture for minority youths looking for jobs is not any better. 25% of African-American youths do not work. 18% of Hispanic people between the ages of 16 and 24, the future of the Demo Party, are unemployed, page 99. Now, what about the minimum wage? What do I have to say about that that you could use as ammunition in your arguments to stop the coming civil war? I'll read it. One paragraph. Pay attention. Raising the minimum wage will do absolutely nothing to help the tens of millions of people trapped in poverty by the policies of an administration that actually encourages them to become dependent on the government as they give up their jobs and career aspirations. Page 101. Just a few more bullet points for you to use this weekend, just before the election, to change one vote from D to R. You know, one thing you got to give the Republicans credit for in general, fiscal, fiscal, fiscal. We all know they manage the economy better. We all know that. Page 105. While the president complains that the 1% control too much of the wealth of this nation, his policies and those of the Fed are enabling the 1% to radically increase their wealth. And they're doing this at the expense of the middle class. Page 105. As I've said before, you'd have to be an idiot to believe that most wars are started by anything other than economic factors. We're facing an economic crisis that not only holds the possibility of driving more and more American citizens into poverty, it may well mean the decline of U.S. economic power globally, and it is most certainly the main wedge with which Obama is driving us apart and into a civil war, page 114. Robot trading has changed the way the stock market works. It's driven out normal people interested in developing a stock portfolio. They're out of the market, page 97. More than 90 million Americans have given up looking for jobs. That's the lowest labor participation rate in 30 years, page 99. You've got to understand what happens when leftists are allowed to take over governments at any level and redistribute wealth that rightfully belongs to the people that earn it. Those economies collapse, page 113. How about food and energy prices, which have risen dramatically while wages have remained stagnant? While this administration tries to push climate change as the most radical danger to the United States, the average guy can't find a job, page 114. Those are your bullet points. You can use them with a friend, a neighbor, or a family member who still is ignorant, still doesn't understand what's happened to them. Use Stop the Coming Civil War while you still can. This is Michael Savage saying God bless the First Amendment, and thanks for listening.
Savage.